Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 19th perek of Sefer Shmuel Beis. This is a, on the one hand, very happy perek, and on the other hand, a very tragic perek. David HaMelech has just got news. He's just found out that his son, who is rebelling against him, Avshalom, has been killed in battle against his better wishes. And that's the last thing we heard. What does David HaMelech actually say? How does he respond to this? So we're told that David HaMelech gets extremely upset and he cries. He weeps. And he says the words which it's hard not to cry when reading. And he cries out, B'ni Avshalom, B'ni, V'ni Avshalom, Mi yitain musi ani tachtecho Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni. My son Avshalom, my son Avshalom, who would give my death instead of you, my son Avshalom, Avshalom, my son. And you can hear the pain in David HaMelech's words. And while David HaMelech was saying this, Yoav hears this is the way David HaMelech is responding about Avshalom. And what was really a day which could have been a tremendous day of salvation and celebration turns into a day of mourning. And all the people return to the city kind of as if they'd lost the battle, even though they'd won the battle. By Yiskanev, they sort of like slunk into that into the city as if they'd lost the battle, even though this has been a winning day. And he carries on crying out, B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni, and he keeps calling to his son, his dead son. Yoav cannot stand this. Yoav is not taking this. And he storms into the house, and he says, wait a second. He said, is this the way you treat the people who are trying to kill you and raped your wives and would have killed you? Do you love those people who hate you and hate those people who love you? Because if you didn't want Avshalom to die, that means you wanted all the rest of your nation to die, because that's what Avshalom would have done to you. Very sharp language. And he says even sharper than that. He says, David HaMelech, if you're not going to get up there and collect yourself and speak to the people in the right way, then I'm not going out with you. I'm no longer going to serve you if this is the way you're going to act. I mean, like very, very sharp words. And Tanakh tells us that David HaMelech, in fact, went back to the gate. He snapped out of his mourning, went to the gate, and everybody came to greet him in sort of this quiet submission at the gate. And as he came to the gate, and it was clear that David HaMelech had regained his composure and was now retaking the throne, all of the people of Israel ran to their cities. Of course, that's because the people of Israel were the people who sided with Avshalom. They don't know what David HaMelech is going to do now. So in the meantime, there's this debate, as the Mefarshim point out, if you read the Pesukim Yud to Yud Aleph, you'll see there's a little bit of a debate among the tribes of Israel as to what to do, and in the end, they make a consensus. They send a letter to invite back David HaMelech, and they say, our Avshalom, who anointed himself over us, died, and we are your servants, please come back. And David HaMelech was very touched by the note. The only thing is, he sends a letter to Tzadok and in Yerushalayim, and he says, what about the Bnei Yehuda? Why is it that my own tribe doesn't invite me first, and all the Shiftei Yisrael, the ones who invited me first? And so they actually do send a delegation to David HaMelech. And at this point in time, when David HaMelech, in the end of his letter, he appoints Amasa. Amasa was the person who was appointed as the general for Avshalom. He takes Amasa to be his general in the place of Yoav. He replaces Yoav as he starts returning. So in the meantime, all of the tribe of Yehuda, run eastwards to the Jordan River to bring David back to the land of Israel. And it's at this point in time that ahead of all the people of the other tribes besides Yehuda runs a person whose name is Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera has got a lot to be worried about. He cursed David as David was leaving. He created a wedge between the tribe of Binyamin and Yehuda when David HaMelech was leaving, and now he runs first. And he comes and he prostrates himself in front of David. He says, oh, don't think, David, what I said was so bad. Forget what I said. Ay, ay, ay. David, I didn't really mean it. Let bygones be bygones. Ki yada avdecho, yada avdecho, ki ani chotasi. You know I made a mistake. Let's put that all behind that. It's water under the bridge. And Avishai says to David, David HaMelech, now's the perfect time to remove his head. And David says, Mali v'lochei b'netzri, why do I need this advice, you violent? It seems like Avishai and Yoav have got very violent solutions. They're very, very protective of the king, but sometimes too much so. And David HaMelech says, no, today Hashem has created Yeshua, a salvation in Israel. I'm not going to kill anybody. And he swears to Shimi not to kill him. Then the next person who comes out to meet him, when as he gets towards Jerusalem, is Mephibosheth. So remember, Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, the son of Shaul, who is who was stayed in Jerusalem. Tziva accused him of having abandoned David, seeking power once Absalom took power. That's what Tziva commanded. But it's clear from his appearance that that was not the case. His hair is grown. He's not changed his clothes. Remember, he is a crippled person. He can't move around by himself. And he comes to David, and David says, Mephibosheth, why didn't you come with me? So Mephibosheth says, David, I couldn't. Tziva tricked me. He said he was saddling the donkey. I should come downstairs. When I got downstairs, there was no donkey. Tziva left without me. Tziva betrayed me. David HaMelech says, I don't need to hear anymore. Mephibosheth, you and Tziva split the property, split the real estate. Meaning, what essentially was Shaul's property, which went to Mephibosheth, was given fully to Tziva when David HaMelech believed Tziva. And now David HaMelech basically is saying, I don't know who to believe. I don't know if I should believe you, Tziva, or you, Mephibosheth. You should both have it. But in a certain sense, he's really rejecting both of them because he's not believing one or the other. And Mephibosheth says, no, David, let him have it all. As long as you come back in peace, I'm so happy that you're coming back. The next person David HaMelech addresses is this person called Barzillai HaGiladi. Barzillai is a person living in the Gilad, the area of East Bank Jordan. And he is he was the one of the people who came and brought David HaMelech supplies when David HaMelech arrived as a refugee. And David HaMelech now says, come to me and I'll give you support and real estate. You'll come to Yerushalayim and let me welcome you back. And Barzillai says, I'm an older man now. I don't need to come to Yerushalayim. I want to stay with my family, be buried in my family pot. Why do I need this? David HaMelech says, no, you and your family come. And David HaMelech welcomes back Barzillai because of the goodness that Barzillai paid to him. And at the very end of the parak, we hear this uncomfortable argument starting to arise between Israel and Yehuda. Remember, Israel invited David back, all the tribes of Israel, but Yehuda was the one who actually ran to the Jordan River to invite him first. So Bnei Yisrael said to Yehuda, wait a second, we offered the invitation before you, why did you jump the gun? And Yehuda says, well, he's our man, he's from our tribe. And already there was this feeling of discomfort which starts appearing. And in fact, the Mefarshim, the Malim, points out this is the seeds of future conflict of the split of the kingdom, is whose king is who, and the tribalism starts rearing its ugly face again, the tribalism of Shoftim. A few things to think about in this parak, when looking at this from a holistic perspective. Number one is that Rashi makes an unbelievable comment. He says that when David HaMelech says, Bini Avshalom, Avshalom, Bini Avshalom, when he says the Bini, he says Bini seven times. Why? Because he's trying to remove his son from the, sorry, eight times. He's removing his son, Avshalom, from the Shiva Madure Gehinnom, the seven layers of Gehinnom, of the netherworld, V'chad Da'ayisi La'almu Da'asi, and one to bring him into the world to come. That David HaMelech is, in a certain sense, acquitting Avshalom of his terrible deeds. Now, I don't know about you, but that does sound a little bit Christian, doesn't it? Meaning, like, you know, somebody doing something for somebody else? How does that work? Avshalom should be responsible for his own actions, right? How does David HaMelech have the right or the ability to be able to take away what Avshalom did and fix it up for him? So I have a friend in Chicago, his name is Rabbi Nachum Rosenbaum, and he had a very incredible insight over here, and it is the following. That David HaMelech is not talking about Avshalom, he's talking about himself. David HaMelech says, what created an Avshalom? You know what created an Avshalom? Avshalom was the son of the third wife. He was second to Amnon. And when his sister was raped, I kept quiet. And there was a reason I kept quiet, but I showed him that I didn't care. I loved Bathsheba and her son Shlomo. I didn't give the love I needed. When Avshalom came back and he so desperately wanted to see me, I ignored him. David HaMelech says, Bani, Avshalom, Bani. You know why Avshalom is who he is because of me. That's why he's like he is. That's why he got to this end. David HaMelech wasn't acquitting Avshalom. David HaMelech was taking responsibility for his part in the creation of Avshalom. That's what would bring Avshalom back. Unbelievable taking responsibility. No blame. Then when we move a little further on to the parak, just one or two other things to consider is that ironically, Yoav threatens David HaMelech to say, I'm not going to go out with you, I won't be your general anymore if you don't pull yourself together. David HaMelech pulls himself together and then kicks Yoav out. Yoav has become too powerful. Yoav has been so protective of David, but ultimately too much so. He wields too much power. David HaMelech has to replace him with Amasa over here. It's a little bit dangerous where you see that the general takes too much control over here. One or two other things just to think about over here in this parak. Is we know that Shimi ben Gera, of course, gave a klala in rest as a terrible curse to David HaMelech. But nonetheless, David Melech forgives him. We see a similar dynamic earlier on in Shmuel Aleph, where Shaul was rejected by some people in Israel, and Shaul left them and didn't hurt them when he was on his lowest point, and when they came, and when he was on his highest point, when he won the battle against Nachash, he did not take advantage of it there, even though people wanted him to kill those people who are naysayers. David Melech is presenting the same thing. On his way down, he didn't kill Nishimi. On his way up again, he doesn't kill Shimi. But unlike Shaul HaMelech, he does take retribution, because as David is on his deathbed, he's going to command Shlomo to eradicate Shimi because of what Shimi did. So David HaMelech is going to seek revenge, but not during his lifetime. Food for thought and homework is, why doesn't he kill him right now if he really is going to kill him in the end? The last thing just to think about over here in the Mephibosheth episode, in the Mephibosheth saga, David does not trust Mephibosheth. He doesn't believe that Mephibosheth really couldn't get out. And you know what? Says Rashi in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chof, this is one of David's mistakes. Because David HaMelech had promised to Yonatan, his friend, that he's going to look after Yonatan and Yonatan's children forever. And when David HaMelech distrusted Mephibosheth and believed Tziva, this egotistical servant of Yonatan, that's the point where that distrust manifests in what Rashi says ultimately will be a split in the kingdom. Because once there's distrust between brothers, that's where splits come from. And this is already the seeds we see at the end of the Perek, when there's this discussion between the 10 tribes and Yehuda, as things start moving in that direction. This doesn't happen during David HaMelech's lifetime, but it is the seeds for future contempt and attrition. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.